This is a Tadad podcast.
Welcome to the Tadad videocast. Today, June 5th, 2020, we will talk to Mr. José Barroso Tostes Neto, Special Secretary for the Brazilian Internal Revenue Service. He will talk about his experience with the Tadad assessment and the challenges that the Brazilian Internal Revenue Service has been facing with the COVID-19 crisis. Welcome, Mr. Secretary.
Hello, Valeria. Good afternoon.
We know that in January 2020, the Brazilian Internal Revenue Service conducted a Tadad assessment. What did you and your team learn from it?
Since I took over the direction of the Revenue Service in October 2019, my goal was to conduct the Tadad assessment, which I had known since its early beginnings. I knew how important it was to have an accurate diagnosis like Tadad offers. I made the request and the secretariat promptly agreed. And in January, we were able to carry out this assessment. When we started the assessment, the whole team realized there was an opportunity to have an objective and unbiased diagnosis, and above all, with references for our tax administration, and especially for the possibility of identifying strengths and weaknesses in our organization. After conducting the assessment, the results far exceeded our initial expectation and went far beyond what we had expected from the Tadad assessment. The whole process encompassed more than 3 months of work and dozens of team members with wide participation from the leaders of each work process, from teams in various areas of the Revenue Service who carry out their activities in the 9 outcome areas of the tool. These teams had a very active participation for the preliminary definitions with the evaluation team. We trained a group of 40 government officials in the tool and the methodology. There was an extensive work for the preliminary review of evidence and even a simulation of the assessment to prepare everyone for the actual assessment. All this effort prior to the execution of the assessment generated a very positive synergy in our organization, with effects that could be felt even after the assessment had been completed. We noticed the importance of having the humility to stop and think about our problems, to feel them more openly and with more proactive attitude, to identify what could be improved, and above all, to look for references not only for support, but to work in partnership with other institutions that could share experiences with us. After the assessment, it became evident that we have many important challenges to tackle as per the report for the performance evaluation. But a feeling of optimism became very evident in all of us, and that we have an excellent reference to support our actions, guide our strategic planning, and especially the various reforms that we intend to carry out in the coming years, with the certainty that it will all be aligned with good practice references from International Tax Administration. In conclusion, I could say that this Tadad assessment was marked with growth and learning for all of us, both from a personal standpoint for each of our government officials or our teams, and from an institutional standpoint. We all evolved greatly with the Tadad assessment.
Secretary, could you tell us how COVID-19 has impacted your daily operations? What has been done to ensure business continuity for the Internal Revenue Service, including measures taken to support taxpayers' compliance to their obligations?
Without a doubt, this pandemic caused by COVID-19 is strongly impacting our work, our organization, and our lives. After all, we're going through unprecedented experiences with this total stoppage. But we can separate our actions in 3 moments. The first moment, at the beginning of the pandemic, that initial pressure with the need to adopt quick and emergency measures. The second moment, after the onset of the pandemic, with all its consequences in terms of the standstill of economic activities and a series of restrictive measures against physical contact, we had to adopt several more comprehensive actions to adapt and adjust to this new context. In a third moment, which is what we're going to be experiencing now, there is an expectations that with the reduced effects and above all with the containment of this contagion and the possible return to normalcy, the need for planning of actions focused on this post-crisis scenario. During that first moment of impact, which was extremely fast due to the onset of the pandemic, we had to prioritize emergency measures to safeguard the health of our employees and of the taxpayers, with special attention to the people who make up the risk groups, with guidance to all those who work with in-person activities, as some of the activities deemed essential had to be maintained, such as critical activities in order to safeguard physical integrity and avoid any possibility of contagion. We adopted emergency measures for online work for most of the organization, providing the necessary equipment and resources, systems and software to enable integration and remote work. And with these measures, we now have 13.6 thousand government officials who are doing their work remotely. This means almost 70% of our staff. There was also a need to establish a decision-making process with an institutional governing body made up of the strategic hub at our institution, a kind of crisis office who started working on permanent duty monitoring information daily, identifying risk and emergency situations, and creating specific channels and ways to provide communication and guidance to everyone. After the situation had been established, and above all with the certainty that it was going to last for some time, we also had to adopt measures very quickly to support taxpayers and most of all to ensure some ways and alternatives to mitigate the effect of the pandemic on our economic activity and on the pandemic and the relationship between taxpayers and the tax administration. First, as for individual taxpayers seeking to create online alternatives for remote services so that the taxpayer would not have to go to one of our branches in person. We employed great efforts to regularize registration information for individuals so they could receive the government emergency aid. Having their tax registration regularized was a condition for receiving such aid. Alternatives to receive electronic documents in order to regularize these records. And we also extended the deadline to file individual declarations for 3 months, in addition to creating an app for smartphones and tablets called Digital CPF, which is an interactive way for the taxpayer to have their digital tax identification on these devices. We also adopted measures to support micro and small businesses by extending the payment deadlines of all taxes for 6 months, deadline extension for tax return filings, and an extension of the due dates for installments. We also deferred due dates of tax payments in all sectors of the economy for the main taxes during the period of March, April, and May. These payments were deferred for the second semester. In addition to the extension or suspension to file tax declarations, we suspended all procedural acts and subpoenas, notifications and collection notices, and mainly the extension of ancillary duties. We adopted tax relief measures with the exoneration of taxes for pharmaceuticals and hygiene products necessary for the prevention, protection, and treatment of COVID-19. And within the customs area, we created a fast track to expedite import clearance of these necessary products for the treatment of this pandemic. Of course, every crisis creates opportunities, and now we have started to leverage more effectively the wealth of information from our databases with electronic invoices, and we created a bulletin from this information, which are the records of sales made on the electronic invoices, that allowed us to track the daily recorded transactions on the electronic invoice, supporting decision-making according to the impacts of the stoppage in different business activities. And in the third moment, which is the preparation for the post-crisis period, we are working on a post-crisis management plan. This plan is being created with wide participation because these virtual integration tools have enabled us to hold meetings with a very large number of participants. We've had meetings for strategic evaluation with more than 600 government officials remotely connected. And with that plan, we will seek to order and prioritize actions post-crisis. We will extend remote work with greater support for execution measures to ensure safety in those activities that will need to be carried out in person, with adaptations in the workplace so as to ensure that physical contact will be safe from contamination, expansion of service channels, and digital services. Two of the big challenges, actions focused on the main sectors impacted by the crises and the collection recovery in an economic crisis scenario created by the stoppage. In this third scenario, we will really need a creative focus on this huge challenge to recover revenue and above all restore the fiscal balance that will certainly be affected by such a huge amount of spending that is necessary to protect the population in this time of crisis. And in the third scenario, we will start our strategic planning for the 2021 to 2023 term. Our main input will be the report from the TADAT assessment. Of course, we will also include the experience we are going through with COVID-19 and all the many lessons learned.
You mentioned some challenges. We would like to know what are the main challenges thus far and how they have been overcome.
I would highlight a few challenges besides those I mentioned in the previous question. First, the imperative need to make and to implement decisions quickly. This crisis reinforced the awareness of how relevant tax administration is to the maintenance of government and how much its actions impact society in different contexts. Once again, we had a very clear demonstration that our actions can be decisive for the survival of people, families, and businesses, but also to ensure the government's action in general. In that sense, quick action was a critical factor that proved to be a great challenge in this experience that we are going through. Another very visible challenge of this experience was the need for coordinated and synergistic actions, seeking synergies with several other government bodies and branches. Interaction with other bodies from the Ministry of Economy, with other departments of the federal government, with subnational administrations to grant agility and concreteness to a series of necessary procedures to manage this crisis. A third important challenge was the diversity of responsibilities from the Revenue Service, which is the Tax and Customs Administration, such as a dimension of the organization. Just to list a few numbers and exemplify this magnitude in a time of crisis, we had to provide by many means the regularization of 12 million individual taxpayers who needed to regularize their tax records to receive emergency aid. This was done in an extraordinary effort with shift work from all government officials working remotely to regularize these records. And it was a demand of around 500,000 individuals per month in the months of March and April. Another number that illustrates this magnitude is a program created to grant credit for cash flow needs of micro and small businesses based on a percentage of their declared revenue, their income. And the Revenue Service, based on the information from the tax filings, is sending out communications to over 15 million micro and small businesses so they can apply for this credit program from financial institutions. We had to broaden our service channel. We created five alternatives in addition to the in-person activity with support via chat through the online call center, corporate box, electronic service file. All different ways for the taxpayers to seek our services remotely, and that allowed us during these 3 months to serve more than 60 million individuals and registered accesses. It is worth mentioning that all of these challenges ended up bringing opportunities for the institution, and above all, the propagation and use of technology tools that could enable the continuity of business remotely and maintain interaction and integration between government officials virtually. and a very interesting aspect worth noting. We are still gathering information, but we already have evidence of important increments in productivity of some work processes that are being done remotely.
In view of the lessons learned, what advice would you give to tax administrations around the world?
We are learning in this crisis, and I could sum up at least five. First, that there is nothing more important than human life and health for each one of us and society as a whole. People should always come first, and everything that needs to be done to preserve this must be done. Second is the need to adopt a proactive attitude, and most of all, be aware of all the risks that a situation like this entails. Because of this proactive attitude, could mean the survival of everyone. Third is the importance of technology. Technology is our great ally to reestablish activities continuously and to continue providing an excellent service to taxpayers. In fact, this pandemic and the crisis brought on by it will certainly accelerate the whole digitization process of the so-called digital economy. The speed with which this has been processed will certainly be much greater after this crisis. Another lesson learned is that we need to be aware of all critical activities and try to manage them in such a way so as to ensure these critical activities continue to be carried out regardless of the crisis we face. Whatever the crisis, whatever the issue, cannot prevent critical activities from being carried out. And finally, I would highlight the need to strengthen governance and management processes, because more than ever, the decision-making process must be fast. Decisions should be taken and implemented in a timely manner. I believe that these were the main lessons we learned in this crisis.
Do you have any thoughts you would like to share on the experience with COVID-19 related to the Tadat structure?
Yes, it was important for us to be assessed during a period that was close to the beginning of the pandemic, and receiving the report for the performance evaluation and feedback of our strengths and weaknesses and times to use it during this pandemic. This COVID-19 context confirmed that some of the strengths of our institution that were identified in the Tadat assessment were instrumental for a quick response to the crisis. Among them, I could mention, for example, the fact that we already have all tax returns, fiscal and accounting deeds that are necessary for the electronic fiscal controls. This favorable condition is fundamental with full digitization of tax documents, having different channels available to provide information and remote services to taxpayers. And third, the efforts that we had already been employing, a process we had already started to support voluntary compliance and cost reduction for taxpayers' compliance. I would say that these strengths were evident in the diagnosis and were paramount to the measures we adopted during the crisis. Additionally, Tadat brought to our institution a very broad and complete reference of the main results that a tax administration should deliver. I would say that all nine performance outcome areas were critical in the context of this crisis. However, I would like to highlight at least three of these nine performance areas, or rather, four of those nine for performance of the tool and which had special relevance in this crisis management. First, it is exactly in the performance outcome area that refers to effective risk management. The focus has been on identifying and monitoring risks related to this crisis scenario and the maturity of building a notion of a business continuity plan. This became very evident now that we are experiencing this crisis, and it is imperative for the tax administration to map all of its institutional risks and compliance risks, so whatever the circumstance, we know what direction to take. So, it is a very important relationship with this performance outcome area. The other is the timely delivery of declarations. We have to conduct our own management for the problems brought on by the stoppage and manage all deadlines that had been previously set to make adjustments to these deadlines and payment terms, so we could have better controls and be able to have more effective control over undelivered declarations from taxpayers who do not comply with these obligations. The third area with which we also had a very strong relationship, was on on-time payment of taxes. So a review of the collection strategies with a view to streamlining the legislation seeking to establish new instruments to strengthen collection, but also a stimulus program for cooperative tax compliance. This tax payment management became a dramatic during this time of crisis. And the fourth area that I would like to highlight is efficient revenue management. It has never been more necessary and important for the tax administration to participate in the daily management of revenue recognition, seeking to understand, quantify, and scale the effects of the crisis to measure and translate how much it impacts in the collection, making permanent adjustments and subsidizing the government regarding impacts to its cash flow, necessary revisions for new budget forecasting. Tax administration is playing a decisive role in the necessary fiscal adjustments, consequential to the effects that the crisis is causing in public finances. So there is a very close connection highlighting these four performance outcome areas, but there are certainly connections in all other areas as well.
Thank you so much, Secretary. Any other comment you would like to add?
Yes, I would like to add a message of optimism against the backdrop of sadness resulting from this global health crisis that we are currently going through. The measures adopted under the Brazilian Internal Revenue Service and all the work that we are undertaking under very special circumstances by all of our teams, our government officials, our employees, have not shied away from the responsibility to fulfill their mission and their role during this time. So even at personal risk, especially officials who had to maintain their in-person activities in close contact to assist taxpayers, or even in the various customs units at ports, airports, and borders. A job that I consider heroic from these officials. But all this work gives us the certainty that we will come out stronger from this experience, from this episode, and that we can be one of the institutions that will adapt better to the new reality that surely Brazil and the world will have to face, the so-called new normal. I would like to reinforce the importance for all tax administrations to be open to undergoing an assessment such as TADAT. I can assure everyone that for the Brazilian tax administration, institutional gains resulting from the TADAT assessment far exceeded the expectations we had and went above and beyond a simple diagnosis of our tax system. All these gains I'm referring to awakened people and encouraged everyone to be collaborative and integrated and proactive for the future. TADAT is really helping us significantly in the context of this pandemic, and it will be even more useful to guide the development of the strategic plan for the coming years and the reforms we intend to implement. We will certainly need to adapt to a new normal, and we are very much aware that we, as a tax administration, can and must make a difference in the lives of people, taxpayers, and society as a whole. I'll conclude with a phrase that translates all this optimism. The impossible depends only on the way of doing things.
Thank you very much, Secretary.
Thank you very much, Valeria. I would also like to thank the TADAT Secretariat and Mr. Justin Zake for the opportunity and the invitation to participate in this podcast interview.
TADAT is a collaboration commitment from the following partners: European Union, Germany, International Monetary Fund, France, Japan, Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, United Kingdom, and the World Bank.